The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on 1030 The Voice, the trusted source for news talk in Southern Arizona. On the other side of the glass, in our fine state-of-the-art space-age engineering capsule, Tom Fairbanks. Tom, doing always a great job for us, engineering, producing the Buckmaster Show. Together, we welcome you to the program. 30th of January, 2020. I'm never sorry to see January in the rearview mirror. It's just one of those months, kind of goes on forever. Now, February, you know, Valentine's Day and all that. I'm into February. Anyway, we're broadcasting from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios on 1030 The Voice. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. All podcasts available at buckmastershow.com. Live line number 790-2040 if you'd like to join the conversation. Hank Amos is with me in studio. Hank is the president and CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust, which was incorporated in the territorial days of Arizona. The incorporation was official December 22nd, 1911, and the company shortly thereafter adopted that iconic bullseye logo. Hank, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on the show.
And Target has kind of a bullseye logo.
Oh, yeah, we had a little tussle with them back in the day.
I know you did back in the day, all about that. But anyway, it's certainly your logo is one of America's most iconic logos. So that's
and it's amazing because it's a national logo, right? We
have the
copyright to that. And people use it all over, and we have to enforce our logo. It's kind of tough to do. But the tussle with Target and the compromise made was that we allowed them to do that. They had to take a circle out. So they only had the dot and the circle, whereas we have the dot and the two circles around it. So that's
the
difference.
Yeah, you've got
the
full bullseye.
We got the full bullseye.
So you've got the dot and two circles. So there you go.
They got the compromise bullseye.
Yeah, they got the compromise bullseye. When we meet with you, Hank, and we try to bring you in at least twice a year, this is kind of be our year-end, new year look at the commercial real estate scene. But before you talk about commercial, you got to start with the residential end of the market. How did it do in 2019?
You know, the residential market had another record year, and they had a record year the year before and a record year before that. They're doing very, very well. So total closed volume sales in the residential real estate market was about a little bit over $4.5 billion. That's up 10.4%.
Excuse me?
10.4% over last year. And last year, they were up over 2017, 10.2%. So you can see the strength that's in the residential market.
This might be one of the hottest real estate markets in the United States right now.
It's definitely a very strong market. And what's happening, you know, because of that is as the economy's gotten better across the country, people are able to sell their homes, right? Mm-hmm. And they're now they take that equity and they can move to a sunny location like Tucson and a location that's very affordable. So you're seeing individuals and families and folks kind of come out here. And then also with that is the ability that you don't have to be in South Dakota or Indiana or where it's cold. You can do business anywhere.
Oh, you're talking about the telecommuting.
Telecommuting. Yeah. So you're seeing people that can pick up and do their business or work out of their home. And so you're seeing folks come to sunnier locations.
Yeah, and walk outside after doing your work inside on the computer into the sunshine.
Right. So they're coming to Phoenix. They're coming to Buckeye. Phoenix and Buckeye, I think, were the two fastest growing.
Whoa.
But Tucson's doing very well.
Do you have any numbers, Hank Amos, about the average? What is an average new home cost right now?
So an average new home costs around $345,000. That's a new home. And the average price of an existing home is about $260,000.
Wow. It's good for commercial real estate to have a strong residential market, correct?
It is. And what happens is you have all the trades in residential. So as you're doing all that production building, and we're a real estate-driven economy, so if our residential real estate is doing well, it trickles down into commercial. But commercial is doing well. So in 2018, we started to see the turn of the tide. Remember, our economy mm-hmm. went south in 2007. Mm-hmm. And then in 2018, we saw the turn. But we really saw the full effects, I call it the Trump economy, the full effects of this economy hitting our shores here in Tucson last year. And so all businesses were doing very, very well. And so we saw that. And what happens when businesses are doing well, and owners and investors they're seeing their stock market do well, you see a bunch of different things. So you see businesses starting to expand. You see other businesses starting to relocate to Tucson. You see investors feeling confident, so they're buying real estate.
Out-of-state investors?
Out-of-state investors are coming because what's happening in a lot of these bigger markets, the cap rates, remember, the lower the cap rate, the more expensive the real estate is. Well, cap rates have gotten really crazy in California and other major metropolitans. And so they're looking for other markets like Tucson or Tulsa where the cap rates haven't gone down as much. And so they think our cap rates, though I think they're at record lows, they're still higher than where they are a lot of places across the country.
You have been in the market forever. Is this the best Tucson economy right now in years?
I would say it's close. So the mid-80s was the best years we've ever had, right?
When IBM was really...
IBM was here. You know, Burr Brown was here.
Sure.
All these... We were top five. We've gone through this before. We were top five in everything. Top five fastest growing city, top five best place to live, top five best place for businesses. And so those mid-80s, the 84, 85, 86... were just boom years.
And you're saying this is hearkening back to those days.
It's really close. Mm. It's really close. Last year was great, and this year is off to even a better start.
Let's talk about another area that you cover at Tucson Realty and Trust. That's the offices. What's the vacancy level like right now for office vacancy?
So vacancy, it's been pretty stable over the past year. It's about 8.5% to 9%. Rental rates have remained pretty consistent as well, kind of hovering around the mid-$19 per square foot. Not moving that much over really the last decade. It hit a low in 2014. Actually, rental rates are just a little bit higher than what they were in those go-go 80 years.
Mm-hmm.
So as the business economy, though, has gotten better, you know, we're starting to see vacancy come down a little bit.
Downtown, any action?
Downtown is where it's all happening. We're not seeing any speculative development because the rental rates haven't gone up as much and there hasn't been enough demand yet. But we will see some downtown, maybe late this year, definitely next year. And it's all because of Rio Nuevo, right? And they have those incentives that are attracting developers to come down there and develop. But I know of two buildings that are going to be going up. And so downtown's doing very well. The other really big thing probably is medical development.
Yeah, it seems like there's one of these emergency medical clinics now popping up.
Those guys, the mattress firms, right?
Wow.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
Every corner. Anyway, office looking good. This is always the one we look at really closely, the retail industry.
So retail saw a good drop in vacancy so their vacancy rates have gotten better over the past year. We're kind of hovering around 5.5%, 5.7%, which is excellent. We did see some negative absorption this year. Rents dropped from a high in 2010 to about the mid-$15 per square foot, though that's up from about $14.75 a square foot when we started the year. So as occupancy has increased, rents are starting to rise again. But we're still seeing a lot of retailers kind of feel that Amazon effect, what you and I have talked about before.
That's tough for your mom and pa retailers.
It is, because they have to compete with price. They have to compete with the inventory, you know, having the inventory to meet what people want. And now you have minimum wage increases again. So it's very tough for those retailers. So the only retailers that are unique and have something of value or need can really compete these days.
The whole brick and mortar strategy has taken a huge hit, hasn't it?
It has taken a hit, but what they found is when you remove the brick and mortar, mm-hmm. your business drops about 30%.
Oh, really?
So now there's exceptions like Amazon,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But think about Amazon. Though they do all their business online, a lot of the goods they're selling, it's in a brick and mortar store.
Ooh.
So while it's not their brick and mortar, right? people are going to other stores.
They're facilitators.
They see that,
for these,
and then they go and get the cheaper price.
So,
but other stores, though, will notice that if they take their brick and mortar out, they'll see a decrease. So they know that their brick and mortar is worth about 30%.
So they'll use Amazon as kind of your a benchmark, and then they'll go to the retailer and actually try on the item. So
right, which I don't think is really fair. I mean, you got to support the local retailer.
When we come back with Hank Amos, we'll look at the industrial, the multifamily, and how land is doing here in southern Arizona. But right now, Hank, I want to talk about my favorite bakery in town. I know you love a nice croissant, an almond croissant, a Danish Kringle. Mona's Danish Bakery, have you been up there?
I've been there.
Yes, Mona's located.
They're the best.
Oh, they are. Chief baker and owner Steve made a sizable investment, Hank. Late last year, Steve wanted to go full bore with a hot breakfast, and they're doing very well. The grill is up and running at 6:30 in the morning. A lot of people meet folks up there for coffee and some hot breakfast, an early business meeting, or they go by Mona's right now for lunch. Check it out. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. They're at monasdanishbakery.com. And, of course, there's a link at buckmastershow.com. When we come back, Hank Amos, president and CEO, Tucson Realty and Trust, right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Tom, where did you get that bump music? That almost sounds like it's something out of the Hootenanny days of Twist and Shout or
something. We're having a
Hootenanny. Yeah, what in the world? Where did you come up with that? Anyway, Tom, you never know what he'll pull up for some of the bump music on the Buckmaster Show.
It's actually existing bump music that I have gone in further.
Oh,
usually
good.
We just play the early parts of it.
I like that.
I'm going back,
Get into the archives of the Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour drive to a beautiful area of the southwest corner of the Land of Enchantment. Hank Amos with us from Tucson Realty and Trust. You know that Silver City area, Hank. I know you love to travel. What a beautiful area of the southwest New Mexico.
It's gorgeous out there.
Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the listing of so many recreation, hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, going up to the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, all of the information you need at southwestnewmexico.org. We continue now with our discussion with Hank Amos in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio during the first portion of the program today. Hank was giving us a very, very rosy picture about residential Tucson being one of the hottest residential areas. Commercial is following and doing very well. Office, retail, all on the upside and a thumbs up. Let's turn now to what is the things like Amazon, the big warehouses. These are industrial space, I think I'm trying to say.
Right. So industrial has continued to demonstrate strength in our marketplace, and especially with the absorption of the Amazon distribution center there on Kolb Road. And in the past, too, we had other logistical space users like FedEx and Home Goods. So they've come to our market. Vacancy has continued its downward trajectory. So we're around 6%, which is a sharp drop over the past 4 years.
I can remember in our visits in years past, that number was up nearly to 20%.
It was
at the very
there.
Down times.
It was
but
up
But you're
there.
Saying now it's down to 6%.
Right, and you think about it. So you're looking at industrial 6%, retail 5.5%, office 8.5%. You know, we're all below 10%, which are signs of a really strong market.
Are the rents reasonable in the industrial area?
They are. And what's interesting is even though the vacancy rates have dropped, the rents really haven't gone up as much as one would expect. I think that's eventually going to start happening, but it hasn't happened yet. And I think because it's just not there yet. It will catch up, but we'll get there. And we're not going to see much speculative development until those rents start going up.
Multifamily, of course, are the apartment complexes. How are they doing?
Get there, Taylor, I want to say one more thing about industrial because
sure.
I think it's important.
Okay.
We look at investments, and I would say industrial right now has the highest cap rate. So that means the best buy for buyers out there, right?
Oh, really?
So if you look at all the asset classes, and I say this because we're going to go to multifamily, their cap rates are at 8%, which are really good when you're looking for yield return. That's what an investor looks for is return. Industrial probably has the best cap rates. Now we go to multifamily. They're still the king of commercial real estate in Tucson.
Hmm.
And their cap rates are running around the low fives for Class A apartments to the sixes for Class B and Class C. And the really interesting thing that's happened in multifamily is for years and years and years, those rental rates were not moving.
I remember.
We were at the lowest.
Nothing was moving the needle. We had some of the lowest apartment rental rates in the United States.
It was crazy low, and they just would never go up. But that's not the case right now.
Mm.
And they're up to about $820 plus a unit. They really have moved up. They've moved up about $150 just in the past year or so. Their vacancy rates are around 5.5%. Which is down from under 6%. Again, we're talking about single digits
sure. And
all. The housing market at the U of A, we're seeing more and more of those, like the Hub and with Dinerstein being built. There's still some more to come. And the interesting thing is they build them, they lease them, and institutional capital comes in our marketplace and buys them.
Mm.
And then HSL and MC companies.
Are they still the two major players?
They're the two major players, local players. Mm-hmm. They're still developing and have more in the pipeline.
Let's talk about land. We usually run out of time, and I want to give this some more time in our visits today, because we have seen land prices really change big time.
Big time. And so what's happened is, when you had those tough times, you normally have developers that come into the market, they buy the land, and they plat those lots, right? So they go through the rezoning process, and they plat, and they put lots in there. Other developers will actually finish it all out, and so it's ready for a builder to take over. But when times were tough, they weren't doing that. Now times are much better, and they're trying to get caught up, but it's tough to find land. And so residential builder land is in hot demand. You can't find finished lot product, so developers are trying to meet that demand. So with that, two things are happening right now. Because there's very few lots, supply and demand, right? Mm-hmm. Very few lots, those prices of those finished lots are really going up. So at around $1,400 is front foot. That's how you measure it.
Front foot, right?
So the street, right?
The front foot of the street. Okay.
Right. And they're going up to 2,000, maybe a little bit more in certain areas like Rancho Festoso and Dove Mountain. We think it's going to go up to about 1,600 front foot in 2020. But it's just not the scarcity of the lots that's driving prices up. It's the construction of the improvements for those lots to make them ready for builders. And so all the construction costs involved, you know, everything, steel, everything involved, has made these lots so much more expensive. But the number one thing has been the labor. Because back in 2000, when the market, you know, went south.
2007, everybody left town.
The tradesmen.
They all took off.
They went for greener pastures.
Yeah.
And they left for those next 10 years. So we have a lack of construction labor in our community, which therefore is driving the price of labor up. That's reflected in those lot prices as well as the finished homes themselves. So, you know, newsflash, you're going to see the cost of new housing really going up, and existing housing as well, because of the lack of inventory in existing homes.
Where's the hot area now for? Where's the most demand?
Well, the biggest demand is still the Northwest, specifically Oro Valley. You talk to people who are coming into our community. People want to live there. It's clean. The streets are wide. The zoning is pretty strict over there. So that's where everybody wants to go. Marana is also very big. And then there's other areas in the community like Vail and Sororita that are doing very well, too, with builders.
You just can't find a vacant lot in the foothills hardly anymore, can you?
Very tough to find, exactly.
And if you did find one, it would cost you a lot of money.
And that moves to the next thing. It's interesting that you say that, Bill.
Okay.
You know, millennials don't want those big one-acre lots or two-acre lots
anymore. With the backyard and everything.
Exactly. So what they're saying is, hey, you know what? I want a smaller lot. I'm going to save the money instead of having a bigger lot, and I'm going to put that money into the home so I can have all the goodies that I want and really plush out my home. And what's also happening with millennials is you're seeing more and more people, because of our technology, working from home. So they want the inside of their home looking great.
Oh, they want all the goodies and the amenities inside and forget about the yard. Richard has a quick question for us. Richard, I've got only about a minute. Go ahead.
You bet, Bill. Hey, with the rising cost of homes because of the infrastructure issues and difficulty in finding lots, isn't this one of the main reasons we need to appropriately head out towards Abra Valley, to the flatlands out there, where developers can have an easier time building out there? It's flat land.
Okay, good question.
That's a great area. That's an area where we can be going. There's a lot of state land, too, that's up in the Northwest that could probably be released that we can build out that way. You know, the one thing that everybody fights here is urban sprawl. So, I understand that, but everybody wants their property, right? They want a piece of the desert. They want to live there, but That's an area definitely that people can go into. That's a good point, Richard.
And quickly on that millennial thing, the millennials want the amenities in the house, so they're willing to go for a smaller acreage with the property,
they're
right?
They're going for those smaller lots, smaller acreage, and they want their money all going inside into the home.
How about downtown as far as residential? Is it starting to come up?
It's starting to come up. You're seeing some apartments, and as you see more of those millennials, the urban renewal, you're going to see more and more people going downtown because it's a chicken the egg thing. Do the housing come first and then the retail, or does the retail come and then the housing? In our particular case, it was the retail and the restaurants and the bars that came first. The housing will follow. And that's what happened in Miami Beach.
All right. Hank Amos, whose family has been involved with Tucson Realty and Trust for a long time, goes back to like 1912, right, Hank?
It does. And I also want to do a shout out to Rosie Cloberdine at Long Realty. She helped me with some of these residential numbers.
Well, got some good information today. Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure, Hank Amos, to
thank
see you.
Thank you. Always good seeing you, too.
I think Hank and I have been doing these kind of twice-yearly reports going back to when I came to Channel 6 in 1988. So that means, Hank, we've known each other for 32 years. That's
right.
Amazing.
We used to do that in the basement at the U of A.
Yeah, we did. I think they're still there. Anyway, we're in the green thing, Zocalo Village Studio. Hank, hope you have a great weekend coming up.
You too. Thank you
all
very
right,
much.
The Buckmaster
Appreciate
Show,
it.
Midway Point. Former Congressman Ron Barber is next here on The Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include The Amazing 30-Year History, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass Tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster, and you know how I love to travel. I've always searched for that new destination or travel experience that makes life so special. And I look to Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel for insight on current travel trends.
This is Ryan Hansen, and I'd like to personally invite your listeners to the Bon Voyage Travel Showcase. Over 40 travel partners will be on hand to answer all the individual travel questions that you have. Bill, you and I are going to team up for a joint presentation to help your listeners discover all the world has to offer.
I'm looking forward to it, Ryan, talking about the inspiration behind my lifetime of travel to more than 100 countries.
Join us on February 16th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Hilton El Conquistador for Bon Voyage's free travel showcase.
And look no further. The folks at Bon Voyage will help you plan that perfect journey.
Be sure to visit bvtravel.com to RSVP.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios on 1030, Tucson's source for trusted news talk. United States Representative Ann Kirkpatrick announced 2 weeks ago that she's beginning treatment for alcohol dependence as she recovers from some really serious injuries suffered in a fall about 3 weeks ago on the Washington area subway on her way to Congress. That mishap left her with staples in her head, cracked ribs, and a fractured spine. Joining us on the live line is former Congressman Ron Barber, who is Ann Kirkpatrick's district director. Of course, voters sent Ron to Congress in 2012 in that special election after Congresswoman Giffords resigned in the wake of the January 8, 2011 shooting incident that left both Ron and Gabby Giffords shot. Ron Barber was reelected in November 2012, but lost by just 167 votes in 2014 to Martha McSally. Ron, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me on the show today.
Ron, give us an update. How is the Congresswoman doing?
Well, there are two aspects to what's happening with her, of course. One is the injury she sustained when she fell. And the reports I've been getting from our staff in Washington, D.C. is that the physical injuries are mending very well. And in fact, she's way ahead of schedule on that. She's getting, obviously, physical therapy and for her injuries. But she's doing really well in that aspect. We expect a full recovery. There was never any doubt about that. The other issue, which is, of course, the bigger one, is her self-admitted dependence on alcohol. And she's in a program to help her take care of that issue, to get to sobriety. And we expect to see her out of that program in about 3 weeks. And back on the job and back in Congress in D.C. and back in the district to do events. We're very optimistic about it. She's very dedicated to her recovery, particularly the sobriety issue, and with the right supports. And we are certainly there for her. I think she's going to do well and get rid of this disease, which so many Americans deal with all the time.
Is she still planning to stand for reelection, Ron Barber?
Yes, absolutely. There's no let up in that. She is going to run for re-election. Her campaign continues. Michael Sheridan, her campaign manager, is organizing events. We're gathering petition signatures. She's raising money through various means. And yes, she's 100% going to run again. And she will be victorious in November.
Ron, let's talk a little bit about the impeachment. How is that going to play with the American voters in 2020? What are going to be some of the repercussions of this?
Well, you know, first of all, you know probably, and everyone knows, I think, that Congresswoman Kirkpatrick came out in favor of impeachment in the House back in July after she read the Mueller report and was really shocked by what she read in there, even though, you know, Bob Mueller didn't reach some conclusions based upon the protocols within the Justice Department. So she's been on board for quite a long time. You know, one of the things that she has reflected to me when we've met and talked is that the tension within the House, now, of course, within the Senate, is pretty extreme. I mean, having served there in the House in the past, I know that we've had collegiality and we've had bipartisanship. And the congressman has told me that not just for impeachment, but generally speaking, there's been a breakdown in collegiality and collaboration. I think the trial has probably exacerbated that within the chambers of both the Senate and the House. As far as the population that the congresswoman serves is concerned, we've been getting a lot of phone calls when she's had her Congress on Your Corner event. This is an issue that's come up a lot. What we're hearing mostly right now is people who are critical of Senator McSally, and they call our number to reach her because we have the same number that she has when she was in Congress. So, you know, we're getting an earful about that, and then we redirect them, of course, to call her directly. So, the calls from constituents for impeachment and removal are strong. And, you know, obviously our country is divided on this issue, although I believe the most recent polls show that over 70% of the American public, including Republicans and Democrats, registered voters, want to see witnesses and want a fair trial, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
No, it looks like it could be over, Ron, by Monday.
Right. Well, Friday, tomorrow, today they're completing the questions and answers with the senators and the two legal teams. Tomorrow there's going to be a vote, apparently, on whether or not to call witnesses. And at this point, it looks like maybe three Republicans are going to join Democrats in asking for that, which will produce a 50-50 tie if that's the way the vote goes. One more Republican crossing over would require witnesses. And, you know, the congressman certainly believes that witnesses are essential. As a former prosecutor, she knows you really can't have a fair trial without witnesses. And she would be advocating that for that if she were back at work.
Okay, one of the marquee races, Ron Barber, is the U.S. Senate race in Arizona. Of course, you're dear friends with Gabby Giffords and Mark Kelly. Mark has consistently, Ron Barber, the polls have shown him to be a consistent leader over Senator McSally. How do you see that race at this point?
Well, I see it as one of the most expensive Senate races, certainly in our history, maybe the most expensive in the history of Arizona, and perhaps even at the national level. The fundraising by both candidates was really incredible. Kelly has raised more than $20 million as of the last count, and McSally $14 million. So there's a gap there, which is important when it comes to running a statewide race. As you said, I know Mark and Gabby very well, and I certainly support Mark and his efforts to become our next senator. It's going to be a tight race, no matter what the polls say and no matter what the money raised is all about. You know, Arizona has not typically elected Democrats to the Senate, not since Deacon Feeney was in office. And last year, of course, Congresswoman Sinema was able to become a senator. So it's unusual, but the state is moving in what some people would call purple direction or even blue direction. And I think that's favorable to Kelly. But I still think it's going to come down to the wire, and we're going to be chewing our nails on election night to see who wins.
Republicans currently enjoy in the state house, Ron Barber, a 31-29 advantage, and then over on the Senate, 17-13. A lot of people are saying that Arizona could be, I think it's the Democrats anywhere, saying it's one of seven states where Democrats really could turn government from red to blue in 2020. You think they have a shot at that?
I absolutely do. You know, progress was made in that direction in last year, in 2018, I should say. And I think it's possible. It's a really tight margin for both the Dems and the R's. And so I think just two or three races will put at least one chamber into the Democratic hands. You know, I served in state government. The last time we had chambers that were one was the Senate was Democratic and the House was Republican. And in those days, we had Alfredo Gutierrez leading the Senate and Burton Barr leading the House, and they were collaborating to make sure Arizona had bipartisan legislation and budget. One would hope that that will occur, because right now, with one party controlling state government, we don't really have the balance we need to represent the state. So I really think that at least one chamber of the state legislature will change hands in November, and I think it'll present a much different picture in 2021 for both the governor and the legislature.
All right, Ron Barber, thank you very much. Please give Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick our best as she is on the road to recovery. Thank you, sir.
You're most welcome. I'm very proud of Ann having done this. It's unusual for a public official to come out publicly, but she really felt that her constituents needed to know what she's doing, and she's going to come back stronger than ever.
All right. Ron Barber, thank you, sir.
Thank you, too, Bill.
Ron Barber with us on the Buckmaster Show. There you heard it during the interview. Early in the interview, we asked directly to Congressman Barber, who is the district manager for Ann Kirkpatrick, is she going to stand for re-election? And he very much said affirmative, yes. So there you have it. We'll take the break right here. Coming up next, good things happening at Pima Animal Care Center right after this.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Green Things has been a wonderful partner for this program. Jan and Jack, the owners, what they have done over there on that 13-acre site, not only with the beautiful plants, but they've got Zocalo, which has this great merchandise, much of it hand-carved, Mexico, Latin America, Europe. In fact, Jan does these buying trips down to Central America and Central Mexico, and a big truckload arrived recently, so they're still unloading merchandise over there. Check it out, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River.
GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Good things, big things happening at Pima Animal Care Center. A record-breaking 2019 with a live release rate higher than 91%. I can remember years ago that number was like something like 60%. And they had the most adoptions the shelter has ever seen. That is great news to animal welfare advocates like myself and my guest, Kristen Hansen Auerbach. Kristen, good to see you.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
And I want to also acknowledge the little friend who is in your arms. This is just typical of the loving people at Pima Animal Care who take care of animals like Alfred. I know it's the radio, so I'll try to describe this beautiful 15-year-old dog who was found wandering as a stray. Not only as a stray, but what about the disabilities of being blind and deaf? Can you imagine how frightening that must have been for Alfred? But Alfred knows I'm talking about him, because even though he's deaf, he seems to sense that he's among friends.
He's showing off.
Yeah, he's showing off indeed. To characterize the year 2019. There's the barking noise Tom just put.
Nice.
You don't need to hear any more of that. You hear enough of that all day, right? Go ahead.
It was a really remarkable year, and we always say, you know, it takes a village, but 2019 really, we really realized the potential of what PAC can do, and we had more volunteers, more foster caregivers, more rescue placements than ever before, and we were able to save most of the 18,500 pets that came into PAC.
How about the foster arm of the program?
Well, we...
Without it, where would you be?
On any given day, we have between 800 and 1,500 pets in our custody. If we had to house all of those at PAC, we would be forced to euthanize for space on an almost daily basis. And thanks to our foster program, we sent 5,200 pets to foster, and there was not one day of 2019 where we had to make that impossible decision of having to euthanize healthy, treatable animals because we didn't have space. And that's partly because of our still almost brand new taxpayer-funded facility, which has changed the game for us, combined with that foster program.
You had to euthanize, put down fewer than 1,000 animals for the first time in PACC known history. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it feels really good to be able to...
I mean, it's still one too many.
And we're always going to get pets that are at the end of their life,
sure,
and that are truly suffering. But for almost every animal, we're able to give them that life-saving chance to go live with a loving family. And it was a really amazing year.
And I know you know this number. It's pretty shocking. Around the United States, every day, 9,000 animals, Kristen, are put down.
Yeah, you know, we work, one of our partners is Best Friends Animal Society, who is working to end the euthanasia of healthy, treatable animals by 2025. But one of the cool things about PAC has been that we have visitors from other shelters from around the world and around the country almost every week coming to see what we're doing there. And so PAC's able to have an even bigger impact than just locally by all the people coming to visit. And they're able to see that it really is possible, even in a large shelter.
And what is the bottom line message that you give these visitors?
I think that what makes PAC work is that we ask the community for help every single day, and we make it really easy for them to help. And a lot of shelters still operate like old dog pounds, where you couldn't see some of the animals. Some of them the public didn't even know about. And so we believe in true community engagement with everything we do, which is part of why we have more than 1,200 foster caregivers and volunteers.
Have you been able to increase the number of officers who are out on the streets?
Yeah, we have about 17 officers out on the streets. And actually, for the first time in several years, we are fully staffed with our animal protection unit. So we responded last year to about 2,500 cases of cruelty and neglect. We took in about 1,000 pets from hoarding cases, and we are really this year finally able to do more proactive work. We're trying to help people before they get a problem and teach them how to humanely care for their pets so that they don't commit acts of neglect. Some people just still don't know that pets are like people. They need food, water, shelter, and love.
This hoarding issue is so complex, isn't it? What is it that drives somebody to do the hoarding thing?
Yeah, we've really had to sort of take a deep dive into hoarding cases this year because we are finding more than ever overwhelmed caregivers. And primarily, they don't want to have 50 to 100 animals, but they're scared to reach out for help. And they're afraid if they reach out, they could lose their homes. They'll lose all their animals. And so this year, we're really trying to tell people we're here to help. And we're working with the health department to have a public health nurse actually go with us to all of our cases to help the people, too, because hoarding is a mental health illness. And so we need to help people as much as we need to help the pets.
All right. Jeff has called us, and I know you've got your hands full there. Is there a way to slip on your headset there
yes.
as well so you can hear Jeff's question? You've got Alfred there in your arms. Now you've got your headset on. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yes. Good afternoon. First off, thanks for all that wonderful, selfless work you people are doing over there. It's pretty incredible, actually. Thank you again. My general comment and question actually is, there's this abandoned dog racing track down there in South Tucson. It seems like it might be a natural fit if I don't think anybody's doing anything with it. And it's a facility that if it were handled right, would help you guys out. It seems like it'd be a win-win-win. Even the dogs would win. Anybody ever thought about that?
You know, actually, we did at one point. We looked at it as a possible off-site housing option. But luckily, this year, thanks to the new facility, we are not in a position to be overcrowded. So for the first time in PAC history, we don't need that extra space. And we're really in a lucky position. But it is that facility is shut down and it's not housing animals currently. And so it was something that we looked at one time.
Jeff does bring up an interesting point about satellite facilities. I mean, where you're located now on the west side is a wonderful location. However, for folks on the far east side, perhaps maybe someday a satellite facility would work.
Yes. Yeah, so it is a really good question because we are 45 minutes to an hour away from some folks,
right.
Even further. And so we're looking at several options as we plan for the next 5 years. Possibly we're looking at offsite locations, but another option is to actually have a large mobile vehicle, kind of like a bookmobile for pets,
where you can
bring 40 to 50 pets around Pima County with the size. We also want to be able to get up to Oro Valley and down to Green Valley, and there's all parts of Pima County we want to be able to hit. So we're also looking at that mobile option as a possibility.
Are other facilities around the country, have they explored that or are doing the mobile unit?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Two things that are happening around the country that aren't yet happening here are transport of pets out. So in the summer, we have 1,500 pets in custody. It's too many for any one facility. And so we're looking at, we're going to be working with Wings of Rescue. They're a nonprofit who actually flies animals to parts of the country where they don't have enough pets.
Wow.
So Seattle, Portland, and areas like that. So we're going to be working with them so that when we do get to that time when we're really, really full, we have an option to get pets out of the shelter.
All right, and a quick plug for the Auxiliary Arm Friends of Pima Animal Care. I'm a member and a big supporter of that group, and without that group, the facility and the work there wouldn't be what it is, right, Kristen?
Yes, if you want to donate to a cause where you know that your money is going directly to saving lives of our community's homeless pets, the Friends of PAC, they do so much for us, and we couldn't save about 20% of the animals that we save. It's only possible through the Friends of PAC. So we rely on them heavily for these harder pets like Alfred who need special care and medication.
If you want more information, you can just Google Friends of Pima Animal Care and that will get you in the right direction. Kristen, always a pleasure. Congratulations on a great year. We'll hope 2020 is terrific as well. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
All right, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Kristen and Alfred the dog, and not that I want to put Tom Fairbanks after that. I
mean, woof.
You're as important as everybody here, Tom. Have a great afternoon and evening.